Amen. Thank you, choir. If you enjoyed that, would you say amen? Amen. I appreciate that. There ought to be a melody ringing in our hearts. Amen. In case you didn't know, today is Brittany O'Quinn's birthday, and she is the big 18, which means she can join the Marines. It means she can vote, and too bad there's nobody to vote for. But anyway, get by and wish her a happy birthday, if you would, this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15. We'll be reading several verses from this chapter here this morning, starting in verse 10. Luke, chapter number 15. Luke 15 is a very famous chapter in the Bible, apart from Psalm 23 or maybe Psalms 46. Apart from John 3 or John 14, this is probably one of the most read chapters in the entire Bible. And I believe that's because there's some tremendous truths in this passage. Luke 15 is the story of the prodigal son. And I want to bring some of those truths up to date for our hearts this morning. This is the story of two sons, but it's also the story of a loving father. Luke chapter number 15, if you found your place, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Luke chapter number 15, notice verse 10. The Bible says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Drop down to verse 20. The Bible says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry." This morning I'm preaching on the big sin of the prodigal son. The big sin of the prodigal son. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we come to this very important part of the service, Lord, where we open the sacred scriptures, Father, I pray that you would remove any distraction that might take away from the preaching or the hearing of your word. Lord, I pray, rebuke the devil. Bind him from this place. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ on him. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds that we might hear and that we might learn from your word today. Be our teacher, Father, I pray. We wait at your feet. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. Give me power to preach this morning, I pray. Empty me of myself, fill me with your spirit. And Lord, I pray if there be one here today that is not a child of God, Lord, I pray today they would see their need for a Savior and that they would come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We commit all these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. What was the major sin in the life of the prodigal son? As we review this parable, as we see it in its entirety, as we see the lessons that it's trying to teach us, even today in 2010, I ask, what was the cardinal sin? What was the crowning sin? What was the big sin in the prodigal son's life? Now, let me remind you this morning, the prodigal son did not sin in the singular. He sinned in the plural. His life was filled with sins. I think so many times we underestimate the story of the prodigal son. We only see him going into the far country. We only see him wasting his substance, losing his money. We only see him running with the wild women in song. And we only see him there in the hog pen. But let me remind you, there were some deeper sins in the prodigal son's life. And I'm asking this morning, what was the major sin in his life? I remember back when I was a teenager. My dad and I came home one day and we pulled in the driveway. And as we did, I looked in the backyard and there was my brother and he was jumping up and down. And I thought to myself, what in the world is wrong with him? After all, little brothers are weird, amen? Well, all the firstborn laughed, but anyway. So I looked and I thought, what's going on? And so I walked up the driveway and I walked up to the gate and he was hollering, "There's a snake in our yard. There's a snake in our yard." And I looked down and sure enough, here was this great big snake slithering through the backyard. My dad ran out to the shed, got a shovel, and he killed that thing. Amen? After all, the only good snake's a dead snake. And even then, I'm still not getting around the thing. But anyway, he killed the snake, and I thought that was the end of it. But I want you to know, for the next 2 weeks, when I went out in the backyard, I saw a snake. Now, it wasn't there really, but I saw one in my mind. Now, what's my point? I think if you'll study the life of the prodigal son, you'll see more than one snake. There were several snakes in his life, and I want to introduce my message this morning by sharing some of those with you. I think one gigantic sin in his life was the sin of greed. Look at verse 12 here in our chapter. The Bible says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me.'" Notice that. "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Now notice he did not say, "Father, give me what I've earned." He did not say, "Father, give me what I've worked for." He didn't say, "Father, give me what's coming to me because of the sweat of my brow." No, he just said, "Father, give me." Like so many young people today, he thought he ought to have a silver spoon. And he reached out and said, "Dad, I want everything that's coming to me." This young man was possessed with a materialistic, money-hungry spirit. And I want you to know that was one of the problems in his life. Like Judas of old, Judas said to those who took the Lord Jesus, "What will you give me?" And here's another young man saying, "What will you give me?" Someone said this, "If you want to be rich, then give. If you want to be poor, then grab." This young man was a grabber. So the first sin I think is very prominent in his life was that he was a greedy soul. Another sin that I think was very prominent in this man's life was that he had uncontrolled passions and evil desires. Notice verse 13, if you would. The Bible says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living." You know, as I was studying for this message, I read a couple commentaries. And I read one particular exegete that said this man just wanted to take a little journey. The author said he just wanted to get away from home. He didn't like the restraints. He didn't like the restrictions of the father. And so he just took a little trip. He was a runaway. My friends, it was deeper than that. I believe this young man sat at home, and I believe he planned his trip. He wanted sin. He wanted the world. He wanted bright lights. He wanted pleasure. Don't you think for just 1 minute that he just wanted a little vacation? If he had just taken a little trip, he wouldn't have gone so far away from home. And he certainly wouldn't have gone to such a wicked place. This young man was very greedy. This young man was controlled by lust and evil passions, but none of these were the crowning sin of his life. There's other sins I can mention about the prodigal son. I can mention the fact that he failed to choose right friends. In verse 15, the Bible says that he joined himself together with a citizen of that country. And oh, my friends, nobody needs a friend like that. That man swindled him, took all of his money, and he landed that boy in the hog pen. I thought of 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communication corrupts good manners. There are so many sins in the life of the prodigal son. He was greedy. He was controlled by lust and evil passions. He chose the wrong friends. But none of these, I think, are the crowning sin of his life. None of these are the cardinal sin. So what was the major sin of his life? The one thing I believe that caused him to do what he did was his disrespect for his father. His rebellion against dad. He wanted to be independent of his father. He wanted to be out from under the authority of his father. He wanted no more of the love and wisdom and counsel of home. And I believe the base sin of this young man was that he spit in the face of the father. Now, I want you to think about that this morning. And I want to make my application, and may the Spirit of God drive it home. My friends, it would be much harder for us to sin. It would be much more difficult for us to sin. We would feel more shame, we would feel more guilt over our sins if we could only see what our sin does to the Father. If somehow in our minds we could see the prodigal's father as that son made his way from home. And that father looked, no doubt, with a broken heart as that boy went off into the far country and away into sin. If we could somehow see what went on in his heart and in the life of that earthly father. And then if we could transport our mind to the heavenly Father this morning. And if we could imagine what goes on in the heart of our heavenly Father when we sin. I believe with all my heart it would restrain our sins. If we could just see and understand what God feels when we sin. Some of us never think of that. Now let me be very clear this morning. When we sin, it breaks the heart of God. When we sin, it hurts Him. When we sin, it grieves Him. That prodigal sin was a sin against the Father. And I want you to know that our sin is a sin against the Father. Now I want to share with you this morning four things about sinning against the Father. Number one, every sin we commit is a sin against the Father because it robs Him of fellowship with us. It robs Him of fellowship with us. You see, God wants to be near us. God wants to be close to us. He wants fellowship with us. From the very beginning, God has had a desire to fellowship with man. Back when He created Adam and Eve, He walked with Adam in the cool of the evening in the garden. But sin broke that fellowship. God wants us to commune with Him in prayer and reading of His Word. And He wants us to feel His presence. But our sin breaks that fellowship. Look at verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. My friends, you put this down. The moment that you sin, you go into the far country of broken fellowship. Chew on that this morning. You go into the far country of broken fellowship. Now, that does not mean that we lose our salvation. In Philippians 1:6, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Thank God we've got a wonderful salvation that we can't lose. But I know something we can lose. We can lose that sweet fellowship. We can lose the joy of the Lord. We can lose our sensitivity to His presence. We can lose that joy. David cried after his sin with Bathsheba, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Now, I don't care what size sin you commit or what quality of sin you commit. Sin always breaks fellowship. And it doesn't matter how far you are away from God. If you're away from Him, you're in the far country. Now, there are degrees, naturally, of backsliddenness. And some go much deeper into sin than others. But I want you to know, it doesn't matter what kind of sin you commit. The moment that you commit it, you are in the far country. And I pray that today we'll see that our sin breaks the heart of God. By the way, you don't have to just be in the far country sitting on a bar stool. You don't have to just be in the far country running around with someone else's spouse. You don't have to just be in the far country by cursing. Folks, you can be in the far country singing in the choir. Huh? You can be in the far country as a Sunday school teacher. Come on. You can be in the far country on the deacon board. You can be in the far country as a member of this church. All you got to do is live in broken fellowship. Now let me ask you this morning, are you in fellowship with God? Are you in fellowship with the Father? Are you close to Him? Do you feel His presence? Is He speaking to your heart? David, after he sinned with Bathsheba, he cried, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this great wickedness in thy sight." See, David was very aware of the fact that he hurt his heavenly Father. And I think every one of us here this morning would sin less and less if we only saw what our sin does to the Father. It breaks the heart of God when we sin because it robs Him of fellowship with us. Number two, I want you to see also that every sin we commit is a sin against the Father because it causes Him to have to withhold blessings from us. Now, I speak this morning as an earthly parent. My children are here this morning. And I want you to know, as an earthly parent, I want to do everything that I possibly can for my children. I want my children to know that their Father loves them. I want my children to know that their Father cares. And I want to give them every blessing that I can possibly give them. And I think I can speak for the Heavenly Father this morning. He wants to give us everything that He can give us. He wants us to know that He loves us. He wants us to know that He cares for us. He wants to give us good gifts. We see it all through Scripture. Psalms 84, verse 11, the Bible says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Don't leave that last part out. "From them that walk uprightly." Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In Matthew 7:7, the Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you." In Psalms 37 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thy heart." All through Scripture, God wants to give. God wants to bless. God wants to share. But I want you to know this morning, when you get into the far country, He can't give. And He can't bless. I want you to look at verse 22. The Bible says, "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." Boy, when that son came home from the far country, that father ran out there to meet his boy, and he had open arms ready to receive him, ready to give him good gifts. But in the far country, that son got nothing. Now look back at verse 14. The Bible says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." Listen to me this morning. Everyone that chooses to live in the far country will be in want. We don't need to expect anything from the hand of God. Now look at verse 17. The Bible says, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." In the far country, folks, you won't have bread. And you'll perish with hunger. There are no blessings in the far country for the child of God. God wants to give us so many things. But how many times do we tie the hands of God because of our sin? The Bible says in Jeremiah 5:25, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." I had a man call me the other day. He said, "Brother Tim, I need some advice." He said, "My son has gotten into some deep sin." This father, very broken, sobbing there on the phone, began to tell me some of the things that his son was involved in. He said, "Preacher, just a few moments ago, my son called me and asked me to send him some money. He said, what should I do?" Folks, I sat there for a little while. I thought about it. I didn't give an answer right away. But then it hit me. That father should not finance the sins of his son. And then I took him to this passage of Scripture, and I said, "I want you to tell your son, tell him that you love him. Tell him that you care about him. Tell him that you're ready with open arms to receive him if he'll only come home. And tell him, son, there's bread enough and to spare at home, but in the far country, there's nothing." First of all, I say to you this morning, our sin robs God of our fellowship. Number two, our sin causes God to have to withhold blessings from us. Number three, I want you to see every sin we commit is a sin against the Father because it mocks His holiness. It mocks His holiness. I want you to see something in verse 18. Prodigal said, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Now look at verse 21. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." Now, I want you to notice here that he puts his earthly father on the same level as his heavenly father. He realized that his sin not only hurt the earthly father, but it hurt his heavenly father as well. Now, I've got to say this. Young people, when you sin against your earthly father, you sin against your heavenly father. To sin against one is to sin against the other. To disrespect one is to disrespect the other. To rebel against your earthly parent is to rebel against your heavenly parent. And I'm saying to you this morning, if you spit in the face of your parents, you are spitting in the face of God. And you better respect your heavenly father because he is the greater father. An earthly parent is limited. God's not limited. So many times, when we sin, we forget who we're sinning against. We go through life with a nonchalant attitude. We sin and we sin and we never give thought to God. He's holy. He's sovereign. And our sin mocks His holiness. Number four, and I'm through. I want you to see this morning, every sin we commit is a sin against the Father because it keeps Him from reaping the joy He deserves from our lives. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, "And He arose and came to His Father. But when He was yet a great way off, His father saw Him and had compassion and ran and fell on His neck and kissed Him." I want us to see this morning. I can just see that father in my mind. I believe when this father saw this young man heading off into the far country, when he see his son going off into sin, I believe that father got him a seat. I believe he set it by a window. Or maybe by the door. And I believe faithfully every day he looked for his son to come home. He longed for his son to return. He looked with longing eyes out over the field and he wondered, is this the day that my son comes home? Finally, one day, that father looks up and he sees a faint figure coming up the road. And as that figure draws closer, he realizes it's his son. It's his boy. And I can just see that father as he leaves that seat and he runs out towards his son. And he gets there and he embraces his son. And he kisses him. And he calls. He gives the order. He gives the command. And he says, "Hey, bring a robe. Bring a ring and put it on his finger. Bring some shoes and put it on his feet. Kill the fatted calf, and let's make merry. Let's be joyful. My son's come home." But the truth is, my friends, God wants to make merry every day. He doesn't want us to be in sin. He doesn't want us to live in filth. He doesn't want us to have some kind of debauchery in our lives. And then for us to have to repent and then get forgiveness and then make merry. God wants us to have that wonderful joy, that close relationship, that wonderful merriment every day of our lives. That's His desire from us. We don't need to come out of a hog pen to experience forgiveness and to experience joy. He wants us to have it all the time. You know, folks, I want for my children to make me happy. I think you do too. I think all of us want to experience the joy of children who follow the Lord. Children who follow after God and live right. But I'm afraid so many times the children of God don't make Him happy. We rob Him of the joy He deserves because of the sin in our lives. We have broken fellowship with Him. We've robbed Him of the joy and blessings. We've robbed Him of what He wants to give us because of His sin, because of our sin. I spoke to a man the other day on the phone. He told me that his children had taken all the joy out of his life. And then he said something very sad. He said, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I even want to live anymore." You know, I believe there's a whole lot of God's children who are taking the joy away from the Father by the way we're living. And I want us to think this morning of what our sin does to the Father. It robs Him of fellowship with us. It causes Him to have to withhold blessings from us. It mocks His holiness. And it robs Him of the joy He deserves from our lives. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.